with Professor Peter Lynham. Are you there, Peter?
I am here, yes, indeed.
Now we're getting into the festive season. And,
yes, we are indeed, but we're starting with a kind of different approach to the festive season.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought it was really interesting looking at some of the other festivals around this time.
Yes.
And in particular, today is the last day of the Jewish Hanukkah festival.
Okay.
And then I started thinking, I mean, Hanukkah festival is a festival of lights.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I immediately thought of Diwali, because that's a festival of lights which we're much more familiar with in New Zealand. Admittedly celebrated a bit earlier, though it could go as late as late November, but this year it was in October.
Diwali is something that has not really been on my radar until quite recently, Peter, where it seems to have gotten quite a lot bigger in Tamaki Makaurau.
Yes, that's true, and I think that's because our city council has been very anxious to be involved in a whole range of cultural festivals.
Yes.
And so they've promoted them. But poor Diwali had a bit of a rough time this year since it was lost largely in the lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't seen us celebrating Hanukkah, so perhaps we haven't quite got to the stage of Jewish festivals.
Well, what's comparable between the two festivals if they're both festival of light?
Yes.
Where's the connection?
The connection is about there. They're radically different sorts of lights. Diwali is all about fireworks and about wonderful displays and colour and about the goddess Lakshmi returning triumphantly from her struggle against the enemy, or depending upon which part of India you're from, there are various other alternatives to the story. Hanukkah celebrates a very particular festival in the Jewish history as well, but this one less in myth and more in history.
Mm-hmm.
It's the moment when in Jewish history, about 170 BC, if I remember rightly, Antiochus Epiphanes the IV, the successor of Alexander the Great, conquered both the Ptolemies conquered Egypt, the Antiochians conquered Antioch and the area, and then others were back in Greece and in modern day Turkey. But Antiochus Epiphanes, for various reasons, fell out with the Jews, and so he entered into a struggle between various Jewish parties and invaded the temple forecourts, stopped the worship of the Jewish God, erected a statue to himself, if I recall rightly, which was, of course, blasphemous in the eyes of the Jews.
He just had the statue on hand at the time?
No, I think a bit of time was put into building the statue.
All right.
For 3.5 notorious years in the history of Judaism, the daily sacrifices ceased. So it was a dramatic moment in Jewish history, often remembered. And in fact, this 3.5 years business keeps cropping up in apocalyptic movies to this day, because it's picked up in the New Testament as well. Now, at the end of that time, there was a rebellion by Jewish people, led by the Maccabean family, who got a book of the Jewish Apocrypha named after them, and they kicked out Antiochus and recommenced the worship of the temple by relighting the lamps inside the temple and purging the temple of anything evil. So that's your potted history. And the festival is celebrated by burning oil lamps, or sometimes by candles. And the first day of the festival, you start with two candles, and then you work your way out along the beautiful candlestick that you'll be familiar with in Jewish, until you've got to nine. And so tonight is the last day of the festival. And so Jews, as they light these candles, and they're candles specifically for remembrance. They're not allowed to be strong enough to light up the house, interestingly. But it's a festival of lights because it's a great celebration that Judaism once again overcame its enemies and was free. But the important thing for the contemporary Jewish celebration is that actually this is a completely minor festival, in Jewish tradition. But they needed a festival to compete with Christmas.
Yeah, it feels like the Jewish version of Christmas. That was my general perception of it. But obviously, I'm kind of way off track there.
There's a whole history, as I've said, to it. But I mean, there's relatively little historic remembrance of it being celebrated until, was it Ben Gurion, the first president of Israel, gave President Truman, who had done so much to bring about the setting up of Israel, gave them on the first Christmas, Hanukkah festival, this little set of menorah candles that could be burned, and so it became fashionable for American presidents to pick up the celebration. And so it became sort of part of the let's not get too Christian about this festival.
Mm-hmm.
So intriguing how Christmas creates its rivals, if you like. Or maybe it's innocuous equivalents. Maybe it is that actually, I mean, it must be extraordinarily difficult if you say in New Zealand today, if you're a Muslim or a Hindu, that you feel as though the Christmas festival draws you in. And secular New Zealanders just ignore this and don't worry too much and go ahead with all the feasting and celebration.
Mm-hmm.
But for other religions, it feels, and I've certainly heard Muslims talking this, that it feels as though you can't avoid this festival.
Well, totally. Anywhere you go, if you listen to the radio, you watch television, or you head out to the shops, it's
going to
be Christmas.
Yes, the first, I happened to be in town the day the lockdown ended up. The shops opened. This was a couple of weeks ago. And would you believe it that Smith and Cowie were already playing Christmas carols? I felt we could have played We're Free from Lockdown.
Yeah, 1 year of no Christmas carols. Come on.
yes, they've got time enough. But this is the ubiquitousness, I think, of Christmas as a convenient festival that I guess other religions feel they need to be, they're troubled because their kids are going to get caught up.
Oh, totally, totally. Is there any sort of gift giving with Hanukkah or Diwali? Does that sort of...
No. But there is fabulous eating.
Mm-hmm.
Both sides do sweets of their own tradition. So I don't know if you know Indian sweets, beautiful sweet meats with that lovely sort of how should I describe it? A bit like licorice in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
Beautifully decorated sweets. Well, they're very much part of Diwali, and just fabulous to eat as well, and often used as presents to non-Hindus to welcome them into the festival.
Mm-hmm.
For Jews, there is a range of foods, mostly, I think, more pastries.
Yes.
And that sort of thing. But nothing to compare with the, all-out guzzling that goes on in the Christmas festivity.
Yeah. Christmas Day feast.
That's a lot to be said for that, I think, in some ways. Yes. But it's intriguing watching this kind of invention of tradition, because that's what it is.
Mm.
Mind you, I mean, a lot of the so-called Christmas traditions are not that old anyway.
Totally.
Going to sit on Santa Claus's knee 50 years ago didn't happen, which is interesting.
That's just a sort of a department store type.
Precisely.
Marketing ploy, right?
You've got to pull the people back in, and yep. this year more than ever, they've got to pull out every trick that they've got
yep.
to try and get the shoppers in and remember the necessity of expensive and useless presents. This is the heart of Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah.
Alas.
All right. Hey, Peter, thank you very much. What we'll do is we'll check in with you next week. One more to go before we break up for Christmas. So maybe we look at Christmas again next week.
I think we just have to, yes. All right.
Cheers,
very
mate.
Good.
Bye.
See you. Bye-bye.